Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thanksgiving weekend, a special episode, a Wednesday episode. Football Scoop staff, I'm Scott Roussel, your host. I've got college football experts Zach Barnett, Doug Samuels, John Bryce, great humans, all the like. Gentlemen, happy Thanksgiving. Great to see you guys. I appreciate you taking time out of Thanksgiving week. All y'all are doing is like trimming turkeys and decorating the house, huh?
Yeah.
Any coaching news going on?
Nothing popping on the scoop.
Been a busy week, boys. Busy week. A lot more to come. Stunning amount of coaching information, job stuff, extensions getting done, jobs changing hands. Kudos, John Bryce, all you guys, I think, have done a great job with Inside Scoop, our premium member product. We now offer the opportunity to go premium on Football Scoop, get a little inside information on some of these coaching jobs. As we might have heard, we shared yesterday, Jim Mora in talks with Colorado State. We're intensifying that deal, got done last night. Eric Morris with Oklahoma State, we've done that for a couple of weeks. Arkansas is coming down the pike. And then the big one, boys, Lane Kiffin. Oh, Nelly, we've got a dandy.
Pretty good.
Vegas, boys. It's going down, but nobody, well, people do care about that in a big way. But let's talk about Lane Kiffin's future. And I don't even know who to put on the spot right here. Lane Kiffin, what happens, gentlemen?
I'll start here with a question for the class. And maybe I'm overthinking this, maybe I'm underthinking this, but if Lane was staying at Ole Miss, wouldn't they just have come out and told us by now?
Zach, I don't know that they, whoever that is, I don't know if it's Lane Kiffin, I don't know if it's Keith Carr, I don't know if any of them truthfully knew. Lane has struggled to make some decisions and honestly second guess himself sometimes. And as hard as this is to even fathom, in addition to LSU and Florida, there's other things ongoing. And Jimmy Sexton is so far ahead of the rest of the world in some of these things that there are reasons why Jimmy sometimes will tell a guy just to drag his feet and sit tight and trust me. And maybe he can't even say some things to some clients, but there's some other things out there. So I don't know if Lane could give the chancellor, you know, his employer, an answer. I honestly don't know if he'll be able to on Saturday.
Yeah, I think he hasn't told Ole Miss, yeah, just announce I'm staying, because he doesn't know. And I also think, and Scott knows this as well, from talking to people in the building, it changes day to day, sometimes morning, afternoon, evening, hell, sometimes apparently it changes hour to hour. So, you know, there was some stuff a week ago, a week and a half ago, that really ticked off Lane. And I think he told his coaches, boys, we're leaving. Some social media stuff and some people trying to exert some pressure on him to announce right now and to keep the focus on the Egg Bowl and this historic season and all of that. And that didn't vibe well with Lane. And then I think he reflects on what his legacy could be. And I don't remember if it was Zach or Scott or both who said that, like, they'll build statues for the guy, especially for one playoff, for one college football playoff appearance, as long as they don't gag away this Egg Bowl. They'll build Lane Kiffin a statue one day. I think even if he leaves, I think they would build him a statue one day eventually after cooler heads prevailed. So I don't know what to tell you. I think today I'm leaning that he stays. But if he doesn't stay, Florida is doggedly optimistic. I spoke to people in Gainesville yesterday. I spoke to a Florida grad who's an entrepreneur in the Tampa area who runs pretty deep with the Gators. He said they feel really confident, quote, we're getting Lane. So there's – and maybe that's all part of Lane's subterfuge. I don't know. that's where it is right now.
I mean, we're talking about a head coach that is unprecedented in the way that he uses social media to troll. And I'm with Zach. I have a hard time, like, leading up to the Egg Bowl. You could announce at any point that you're staying, you're not going anywhere, and send everyone into an absolute tizzy. I think for me, the deadline in my mind is like Saturday after a win. If he doesn't announce on the field that he's coming back and sends everyone into just pandemonium, I think by the time, you know, Saturday or Sunday rolls around, he's announced that he's leaving. And to me, I think it's I would think it's LSU. But really, both those jobs, both LSU and Florida, you lose three games there and you're on the hot seat. You lose three games at Ole Miss and you're feeling pretty comfortable. So like we talked about last week, like it's a crisis of conscience where I think Lane Kiffin is truly going back and forth between, you know, do I want to chase glory somewhere else, or do I want to be where my feet are? But to me, if that announcement isn't made, maybe it's before the game, before the Egg Bowl, to announce that and just send everyone into an absolute tizzy. If that doesn't happen, or at least by the end of the game, when, you know, they're victorious and they're going to the college football playoff and he can pound his fist on the table and say, I ain't going anywhere, then I think he's gone.
Go ahead, John. No, go ZB.
I was just going to say, my read on this is there's been a lot of talk about Lane struggling to make this decision, and which I believe, but I think people are not reading into that correctly, in my view. It's not struggling to choose the proverbial hat on the table, which, by the way, I think we've all earned. I think there needs to be a segment on game day Saturday morning where he has the hats in front of him and chooses one of them. But I think he's struggling with the decision of, I know I want to leave Ole Miss, but how do I go about doing that? And I know it's going to hurt people that I've come to care about, and that's hard to do. So I think maybe he's struggling with which school he wants to coach, or maybe he's just struggling with, he knows he wants to leave and struggling with how to actually make that come to fruition. And I think when we woke up last Friday was decision day for Lane Kiffin, because you had kind of the whole week of that off week to hear your respective pitches and come to a decision. And it's not going to be terribly different last weekend as it is this weekend, but the offers are the offers. So my read on it was, Lane's decided he wants to leave. Let's get through the Egg Bowl. Let's win the Egg Bowl. At that point, we're in the playoff. The committee's not going to knock us out for Lane leaving. We're probably not going to make the SEC championship game, so there's not going to be a game to prepare for the following week. So we'll have that 3-week period to get our ducks in a row to go try and win a national championship without Lane. So that's where I think this thing is. Last thing I'll say is, the same source that told me Eric Morris to Oklahoma State has been in place for weeks, that was done weeks ago, also told me he'd be very surprised if Lane doesn't end up in Florida.
Florida, okay. What I was going to say real quickly from a clerical standpoint is that it would be weird if the announcement was made on Saturday, because the Egg Bowl is on Friday at noon. So we should probably note that it would be, if he was saying on the field in the stadium, as we alluded to, like, that'd be pretty awkward, because I don't know how many people would be there. Although, hell, they probably could get Vaught Hemingway sold out if they knew Lane was going to come on the field and announce that he was staying. Who knows? But the other thing I will say, I think part of this also is Lane is torn, but he also wants to see this season through no matter what. And I think a big part of the debate has been, okay, if you're leaving, well, then leave after the Egg Bowl, and that's that. And I think Lane very much, in speaking with people there, wants to coach the college football playoff. If he's leaving, he still wants to lead this group of Ole Miss people into the college football playoff. And I don't buy the notion that players are distracted. I don't buy the notion that players overwhelmingly are frustrated with Kiffin or anything like that. This dude is an elite players coach. Like, he does a great job of vibing with his players. We see it on the sidelines. We see it when he's on Pat McAfee with Kawan Lacy, making a cameo with him. It's been other players who have done that over the course of this season. So I just don't buy that. So then I think Ole Miss has some people that wants to dig in and get stubborn and just say, no, well, if you're leaving, just go. And this is a historic season for Ole Miss. What we say, like, best season like in 80 years or something. When's the last time they won an SEC championship? Was it the 40s or 50s? So are you going to be so stubborn at Ole Miss that you say, no, Lane, just get out and torpedo your chances for potentially enduring playoff run? And beyond that, forget the pride and the ego. Think about the dollars. You're going to need to hire a new coach. If Lane sticks around and coaches you in the playoffs and you get a home playoff game, there's still a whole economic factor involved there. So I think that that's one of the more fascinating subplots in all of this, is that I know people in that Ole Miss football building, whatever happens, Lane really would like to coach the playoff.
I disagree. I think if I'm Ole Miss, I say, if you want to go to our conference rival, we're not going to stop. We can't stop you. Go, but you're not going to leave me for another partner, but still live in the house until you can renovate the one you really want to live in. If you want to go, go. And that's a big boy decision. It's a big, comes with big boy consequences. If you're not going to be our coach next season, you're not coaching us in the playoff. Get out.
Well, next season's next season. This season is this season. There's no playoff discussion without Lane Kiffin. And my other point to that is, like, coaches have been mercenaries at least this entire century. The 2000s have brought on a more transient era than ever before in college coaching. It's only been the past 5 years that players have been transient mercenaries. These dudes don't care. They love Lane Kiffin. They're there as much for Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding and Charlie Weiss Jr. and all those dudes as much as they are for Ole Miss. They want him to get paid the same that they came to Ole Miss because they got paid.
My read is, if Mississippi State were to beat them Friday in Stark Vegas, I think Lane is crushed, and I think Lane moves on Saturday. Announced it. I think if Ole Miss wins, I think Lane doesn't. There is nothing on Saturday. They say, "Hey, met with Chancellor, met the AD. Gonna need some time here, guys." I just don't see Lane coming out and saying, "I'm leaving." I just don't.
I want to ask Doug. Doug's an actual head coach. So, and you've coached deep into the playoffs. You've had a perfect regular season. So, Doug, I want to know, how difficult would it be for you to have this sort of historic success and decide that it's absolutely the best thing? You have to take whatever the next opportunity is, but then to be told that you couldn't lead the young people to the conclusion of a historic transcendent season. How would you navigate that? Can you take us through your thought process?
I can't put myself in Lane's shoes, because I think when you're in the midst of a historic season like that, you have grown to love this team so much, the players so much. And I mean, I think he even said last week, like, they kind of thought this was a rebuilding year. They didn't expect to have this type of unprecedented success. So to do that and then consider leaving, I can't wrap my head around that. You know, we were 9-0 going to the playoffs. We got the doors blown off us in the first round a couple years ago, but I couldn't imagine that. Like, when you feel like you've built a program to the place where you can compete for championships, and then you're thinking about leaving for two other places that could also compete for championships. Like, why leave if the money is right? And really, your legacy is going to be better if you stay at Ole Miss. If you turn heel and go to a conference rival, I think that is that's a scar that's going to take a long, long time to heal.
Well, we'll see. Critically important for Ole Miss, they win this game. Mississippi State is going to they're going to play a heck of a ball game. This is a heated rivalry. State has been scoring points on points. State is building a nice little program there. Lane needs to win this game. Oh, God. That's Friday at 11. Sorry, Zach.
I was just going to add in there, as I wrote on the site, if Ole Miss loses and then Lane leaves and then they miss the playoff, it's the most individually devastating loss that any team has suffered since West Virginia in 2007. And Ole Miss is safe in the playoff now, but you look at their schedule, they did beat Tulane, which is aged well. They went on the road, beat Oklahoma, which is aged well. Outside of that, they've got the easy end of the SEC: Florida, South Carolina, LSU, Arkansas, Kentucky. You know, and there's a strong bubble this year with 10-2 teams like a Miami sitting there waiting that would be on the outside looking in that they could slide in there. So, you know, Ole Miss is home free if they win, but if they lose, it's going to be an anxious few days in Oxford, to say the least.
I love when the soft side of the SEC is LSU, Florida, South Carolina.
Okay, sure.
All right. Good times. Zach's referencing On the Line. If you guys aren't reading On the Line, you're missing out every week. Just great information in there. Please thank me later. Thanks, Zach, later, because he does all the work. Let's talk football. Thursday night, I think we get Navy, Memphis. Yeah, okay. Important game. Navy needs to win that big game. But moving on to Friday, let's talk the biggest of the games. And I'm just going to hit a couple of the biggest for Fridays and Saturday. Ole Miss State, 11 a.m. Who knows why it's at 11 a.m.? Whatever. What do we like, gentlemen?
Oh, man. I like Ole Miss, but I could definitely see a large Klanga factor if it gets tight late third, fourth quarter.
Oh, huge Klanga. Klanga will be off the chain. No question about it. I think this is an absolute battle, and somebody wins it with less than 2 minutes to play. I think the Rebels win, but, man, I think it's tight, tight, tight.
I'm going to disagree because I think that Lane Kiffin, he loves being loved, and he has a love-hate relationship with being the villain. And because he has been villainized by multiple fan bases and pundits and people even beyond the SEC during this whole courtship, I think that he is going to lock in and have the Rebels locked in and that they're going to absolutely torch Mississippi State.
Okay. Okay.
Doug, I don't see that when I'm with Zach. I think this one is close. There's so many great storylines here from the, you know, Jeff Lebby being the former Rebels offensive coordinator. They're both very similar offensively. They're both going to take shots downfield. They both want to run the football. I think Ole Miss pulls away, but I do see this one being close for the majority, at least through the first three quarters.
I see both teams trying to throw haymakers in the first quarter, and I think it'll be a frenzied first quarter. Kind of pace will slow down second, third, and then the intensity will be at it, maybe the peak of Friday in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Ole Miss is a 7.5-point favorite. I would be very comfortable betting Zach's paycheck on Ole Miss.
Well, very polite of you. Okay. Let's talk two more games Friday. Georgia Tech lost a little bit of its luster with Tech taking that L to Pitt. Georgia handle this, or is this as feisty of a game as the others?
Georgia Tech might be my favorite offense to watch in college football, so I'd love to see this be a game. But Georgia Tech's defense, to me, looks like a baseball team that's just run out of – gone on a good playoff run and just run out of pitchers. And I think I'd be surprised if Georgia finishes under 40 points in this game.
Yeah, we discussed it the other day and just said that this Tech team looks tired. And we know due to his style of play that Haynes King is tired because his style of play is getting beaten and battered and playing as courageously as any quarterback. Is that Lane? You need to get that.
No, it is not Lane.
So I think Georgia wins. I think you know, as we've noted, Brent Key continued to be told it's very close to agreeing to, well, he's agreed to most terms on his extension. He's very close to signing, we're told. I think Tech will lament this season for a really long time of all that it could have been. I think that the loss at NC State really derailed what could have been just complete magic. And how close were we to seeing 11-0 Georgia Tech versus 10-1 Georgia the day after Thanksgiving with freaking everything on the line from national playoff buys to potentially seeing them both state a case if it was a close game and Tech was 12-0 and Georgia was 10-2, but then won the SEC at 11-2. We were a few weeks from potentially having Georgia and Georgia Tech be two of the top four seeds in the CFP. And now I don't even see a path for Georgia Tech into the playoff, even with a win. Their losses are too bad.
All right. In DKR, A&M's undefeated, coming to town. Can Texas beat them, Zach, and disrupt, which is a historic season for A&M?
Yeah, they can. I see this playing out similar to that Notre Dame game, where I think first to 35 wins. I'd be surprised if either defense really stops the other one. Texas defense has fallen apart over the past month. I think you're seeing the losses they had from last season start to catch up with them. With guys, Sark said guys are trying to do too much, which tells me they don't really trust the scheme. And they don't trust the guys around them, so they feel like they got to go play hero ball, which is not a good situation to be in. The Texas defensive line, the front, we'll get after Marcel Reed, but I think if he has time, he'll pick the secondary apart. I think Arch could do the same to the A&M secondary. A&M's only intercepted three passes so far this season. Arch has done a good job taking care of the football. Sark's finally realized what he has offensively. So I think Texas can win. I don't think they will win. But I think both teams get into the 30s.
I disagree. I think Texas A&M absolutely rolls in this one. I think Mike Elko and that Texas A&M defense is legit. I think they're poised for a deep playoff run. And I think I said a few weeks ago, like what Mike Elko has brought to the Aggies defense is what they hoped Jimbo Fisher was going to be for them offensively. And you pair that with a Colin Klein's offense, who I think is one of the top play callers in college football this year. And I really think Texas A&M exposes Texas. I know they've had a couple good games under their belt, but I think the Aggies roll in this one.
I don't know that I don't know that I see this one being the high 30s into the 40s shootout necessarily, just because these rivalry games tend not to, for the most part, skew that way. Now, Georgia Tech played that 8 overtime insanity last year that ended up with all those 2-point conversions that you didn't even know you had in your playbook. It got so deep. I don't think we're headed to something like that in this one. And I think it stays close because Texas will play with some pride. Steve Sarkisian will rally the horns, especially with all the outside noise that they've dealt with. And then let's not forget it's a night game in DKR. So for all that Texas has frittered away this season and failed to accomplish, a crowning moment for how this season has turned out would be if the Horns can find a way to spoil Texas A&M's bid for its first perfect regular season in how long, Zach?
1992.
Okay, I didn't remember.
Which I was honestly surprised it wasn't further back.
That's right. That I saw that was the last time Texas A&M started 11-0, and I forgot that was obviously just an 11-game season at that point in time. So, yeah, that's – we didn't think – Zach did. Zach called preseason that Texas wouldn't finish number one or even make the playoffs, so he gets credit there. But we didn't think that the resumption of this great rivalry in year two of them both being SEC members would boil down to Texas trying to spoil A&M's perfect season. Here we are.
And one note of for how open the SEC is and A&M's having their best season ever, Vanderbilt's having a great season, Ole Miss on their best season, Oklahoma's resurgent. But if Texas finds a way to win this game, our most likely SEC championship game is an Alabama-Georgia rematch.
Yeah.
If Texas wins.
And if Alabama wins.
I'm on the Aggies.
Big Fs.
All right, let's go through. We got some real football news we got to talk about. We got to get off the line. We got stuff. Yeah, okay, good. The big game Saturday. I mean, we got Egg Bowl Friday morning. We got a big game Saturday morning. Can Ohio State get off the snide? I mean, this it's done. You got to win this game at some point.
I'd love to get a read on Ryan Day's blood pressure at kickoff because on the hand, you know,
You don't want that.
You know, personally, he'd love to go win this one 41-0. But at the same time, you have the most talented team and just go win this. If you have to win the game 14-13, go win it 14-13. Just any sort of win and then move on. This won't define their season, but at the same time, it still matters a ton. So I think if Ohio State just goes out and doesn't try and fall into this, we have to be more macho. We got to out pound. We got to run the ball for 150 yards or it doesn't count. Just do whatever it takes to go win and 90. 90% chance he will.
Go ahead, Doug.
I mean, being in the Mitten State, I'm rooting for the Buckeyes. I would love to see the Dave Portnoys and those guys of the world just hush it up for a little while, and the Buckeyes get that monkey off their back. But I'm a big fan of a lot of what Michigan does. I think Chimp Lindsey's done a great job offensively, starting a true freshman quarterback, highly touted true freshman quarterback. They've had a bunch of injuries on the offensive side of the ball, I had to apologize right after week one, saying Matt Patricia and doubting him. I think they have been among the most impressive teams in college football through this point of the year. And I don't expect this one to get out of hand. I think this is a rivalry game that's always played tight, where records don't matter. I expect that to carry over this week too.
Yeah, I think Matt Patricia's defense will ultimately be what gives Ohio State enough time to find its offensive footing and pull away. Like a 31-20 type win is kind of what I see for the Buckeyes. But you guys, I'm sure, have seen, like, they do those presidential portraits of, like, whenever the president's sworn in, they show the picture of him that day, and then 4 years later, they show the president, see how much he's aged. I want a before the first quarter picture of Ryan Day's beard, and then I want to see how much gray there is in it at the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't think you want to check his blood pressure. not healthy is what it's going to read. I like Ohio State in this one. I think Julian Sain continues to show the world that he just puts balls right where they need to be. And I agree with you. Patricia's defense is a difference maker. And I think Ohio State has enough guys to find a win. Yeah, not huge, but I like somebody said 31-20. I feel that as well. All right. Let's jump it on down to Iron Bowl. Real quick. Can Auburn win this game?
If they have the right voodoo magic that they bring out from time to time, then sure. But similar to Ohio State's outlook, I think Alabama, you've got the better team. Just you have the vision of how you want to win this game, of course, and then there will be the vision of how to actually win the game once it starts to unfold. Just do whatever it takes to go win the game by a point and move on with your life.
Yeah, I think Nick Saban said Jordan Hare is haunted. He said that a number of times. I agree with Zach. I think this is another, like the Michigan-Ohio State game, that's always tight. But I expect Alabama to come away with a dub.
Yeah, I think Alabama has too much talent to let this slip through their fingers. Deuce looked awesome for Auburn. It was against Mercer. We'll see. Gentlemen, any other games we got to touch on? We got some real football scoop type stuff that JB's dropping off to handle. Real news happens just, while you're doing a podcast.
Yeah, read on the line, people. I nearly gave myself arthritis writing this thing, so please go read it.
And it's unbelievable. Like, it's one of the best things Zach does every week, and this one in particular is unbelievable.
Thank you. It's my favorite thing to write every single year.
Happy Thanksgiving, gents. I hope everybody has a wonderful day celebrating life, all the blessings that we have. We all are truly blessed. With that, we're out.